The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
goodness. This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, May 7th, 2021. Producing from a bootleg studio at his in-laws in Long Island is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster, only working from my home studio in New York before I head out tomorrow to Atlanta for Sunday Night Baseball. This week, we've got the Philadelphia Phillies against the Atlanta Braves. The Angels announced yesterday, huge news, that they have designated future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols for assignment. Pujols, 41 years old, batting 198, 250, 372. Here's some sound from the press conference yesterday after the Angels made that announcement. Perry Manassian talking about Albert.
There's never a right time for something like this. Obviously, have all the respect in the world for what type of player he is. This is more about playing time and who we have. You know, we have a young first baseman we feel really excited about in Jared Walsh. It's more about opportunity. Albert is not a bench player. You know, we felt like for him, you know, with respect to him, keeping him on the bench, him not getting any playing time would not do him any good or the team any good. So never a good time for this. But with that being said, we felt like it was the best thing for the organization.
I'm going to dive into this a lot today with Carl Ravitch, and we're going to be hearing a nice essay that Tim Kirchen did on Albert Pujols as we talk about the legacy of one of the greatest hitters of all time. Some other news, Blue Jays outfielder George Springer is not expected to be ready to return to the lineup when his 10-day injured list ends on May 13th. That according to general manager Ross Atkins. So for George Springer, for the Blue Jays, some frustration with that quad issue that he's had early in this year. The Mets surprised people by shifting Carlos Carrasco to the 60-day injured list, which means that he won't be able to make his debut until May 28th at the earliest. I heard on Sunday that it was likely he's going to return next weekend, but obviously something has happened as he's worked his way back in recent days. He goes on the 60-day injured list. The hits just keep on coming for the Colorado Rockies. Their highly touted prospect, third baseman Colton Welker, was suspended 80 games by the commissioner's office Thursday after testing positive for a performance-enhancing substance, which I won't bother to try to pronounce, 30 letters. Taylor, you want to jump in here and try to pronounce this performance-enhancing substance?
Let's go with dehydrochlormethyltestosterone.
You know,
pretty close.
You got closer than I ever would have, I can tell you, because I looked at that like five different times. Like, I'm not even going to bother to try. Welker put out a statement. He said, I want to make it very clear that I have never willingly nor intentionally ingested any substance to enhance my athletic performance. Given the information provided to me by the Player Association and laboratory, the amount detected was so minimal, it would have had no effect on performing or enhancing my performance. The winning streak continues for anyone who gets busted. They say they didn't do it on purpose. Let's get to the good stuff. The Marlins, the Diamondbacks, Adam Duvall got a big hit.
Now, high fly ball hit by Duvall. Going back at the fence and looking up at the Auto Nation sign and unable to make the play. The ball is out of here. A home run to break up a 1-1 game. Duvall gives the Marlins a 2-1 lead.
And they would go on and win 3-1. That's sound courtesy of WINZ. The Indians facing the Royals, trying to close out a sweep. And one of the players they got in the Francisco Lindor deal gave him some help.
Here it comes, a swing and another fly ball, pretty well hit toward the gap in left center field. It gets down, it'll go to the wall. Reyes is scoring, and Rosario's around second. He's on his way to third with a two-out RBI triple. And Amed Rosario with his best game as an Indian.
Tom Hamilton on WTAM. Yeah, the Indians sweep that series. They're in first place in the American League Central. We'll be talking about them with Carl Ravitch coming up. Astros, Yankees, and yesterday was Jose Altuve's birthday in the face of all those angry Yankees fans. Well, guess what? Top of the eighth inning, couple runners on base, Altuve at the plate.
McCormick's going, the 3-2, and Altuve drives this one deep to left field. It sends back Frazier at the wall, looking up. See you later! Jose Altuve with a go-ahead three-run homer. Astros lead it 5-3.
I think the Yankees have seen this
KBME
before.
790 AM. The Astros win that game 7-4. The Phillies and the Brewers. The Phillies scored just two runs, but you know what? That's all Zach Wheeler needed. He was absolutely dominant.
Here against Wheeler. He looks back at second and Wheeler's pitch. Swung on, hit in the air. Right field side, foul ground. Hoskins going over. He's under. He's got it. And the Phillies pull off the four-game sweep of the Brewers behind Zach Wheeler, who tosses a complete game shutout, the second of his career, his first since 2014.
Scott Fransky, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Now, before we talk to Carl Ravitch about the Angels' decision to cut ties with Albert Pujols, I want to tell you about ESPN Films' latest documentary, 144, which takes viewers inside the WNBA's unprecedented 2020 season. It's a story of a condensed season entirely in a bubble, where 144 players across 12 teams not only came together to play basketball, but also to dedicate their season to social justice. 144 premieres May 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. The film will be available on ESPN Plus immediately after it airs. And as the NBA season winds down, be sure to follow all of ESPN's NBA podcast offerings, the Woj Pod, the Low Post, and the Hoop Collective. You can find them all wherever you get your podcast.
One last thing. There will be plenty of baseball on ESPN's air this weekend. And of course, you can watch our guy Buster on Sunday Night Baseball, Phillies at Braves at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. But you can also listen to a pair of games on ESPN Radio Saturday. Tune in at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for Nationals at Yankees. They will get you revved up with pregame coverage and the call. And Sunday, same deal, 6 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for Phillies Braves.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
All aboard. It's the Rabbit Train with Carl Ravitch.
We're Carl Ravitch, of course, host of Baseball Tonight, play-by-play man. You hear him all over ESPN, ESPN Radio, ESPN Television. Ravi, the big talk around baseball yesterday, of course, the Angels' decision to designate Albert Pujols for assignment. It was a shock, and it wasn't a shock at all. What'd you think?
100%. I think those of us, you know, anytime you're covered a game and a player for as long as we have, it's just another reminder that we are all advancing in age and our skill level diminishes. And look, I think when we look at baseball and the relievers and the velocity and the spin rate, it becomes more and more of a challenge for even the greatest hitters of their time to consistently be successful. And let's be honest, Albert is not the Albert that we saw take Brad Lidd to the train tracks or have three home runs in a series game. He's very different, and you've got to look for the organization's best interest. Having Albert Pujols in the lineup wasn't in the organization's best interest. And this is the business versus the, you know, the people aspect of it. And yes, I agree. The way you said it is perfect. It was a shock, and yet it was hardly unexpected.
No, I did SportsCenter this morning. They asked me about it, you know, about Albert and what his future is. And he told the Angels the other day, he made it clear, he doesn't think he's done. Yeah. But yeah. There is a chance that he is done for a couple reasons. One, his production. The last four-plus seasons, a .240 batting average, .289 on-base percentage, .405 slugging percentage. And the fact is that this conversation about whether or not to release Albert has been going on in the Angels organization for a couple of years, because he just has simply not been the same player for the Angels that he was with the Cardinals. And number two, you know, Carl, this is an era in which teams really value positional flexibility, and Albert doesn't bring that at all. He's either a first baseman or is a DH, which means that all the National League teams probably would pass. You're not going to bring him in to play defense. You're not going to bring him in to pinch run. Would be such a specific role at a time. You look at the Red Sox, and they filled this team with all these guys who can play like six positions. So I don't know if a team would actually look at him. I think everyone's wondering about the White Sox because of his tremendous history with Tony La Russa, his former manager with the Cardinals. But that's a classic example. The White Sox have Jose Abreu at first base, and they have Yermin Mercedes, who's been their best hitter so far this year, at DH. I don't think there would be a role for Albert.
No, my guess is, Buster, some American League team who believes that they, you know, either are through injuries or for any other reason kind of in a race, will take a flyer on him to be a DH. I don't know that Yermin Mercedes continues this. And if he is starting to kind of come back to earth a little bit, well, let's try Albert Pujols. I mean, we've lost a couple of big bats on the White Sox. It'd be worth a try. The Rays, you know, if there's some injuries, let's give it a try. I think the problem's going to be for those that love Albert Pujols, you are trying to catch lightning in a bottle, and you hope when you sign him, he's sort of in a window where all of a sudden he's seeing the ball and his reaction time is quicker. But every card in the deck is stacked against his continued or long-term success, and that's the reality of it all. As unfortunate as it is, that's the reality of where we are in Major League Baseball. And again, I just go back to one, your positional flexibility that all these teams are looking for, and two, the inability of somebody who's not of Ronald Acuna, Mike Trout, Juan Soto, hand-eye speed. It's just very different. And Albert's worked his ass off to be on the field, but there were times even years back where you would watch him try to run to first base and you would be in pain knowing the pain he's experiencing. So to even last this long, I think, is a tribute again to what we all know about him. He's as hard a worker as there is. He literally is like, he's like a master craftsman when it comes to woodworking. You know, the end product is going to be incredible, but you also realize that the diminished abilities are going to require this product to take a hell of a lot longer to do what he once was able to do. So I think we're going to get into a stage of where a team is going to try him, and then maybe, you know, a month later say it didn't work, and then maybe another team is going to try him because of what he is and what he's meant and what he can bring with one swing.
The closest situation I can compare Albert's to in this moment was to Ichiro. You remember when he was with the Mariners and there was talk with their trade.
Yep.
And before the Yankees made the deal for him, Brian Cashman got on the phone with Ichiro and said, you know what, we'd love to have you, but are you prepared to play 1 or 2 days a week? Are you prepared to be only a pinch hitter or a defensive replacement? Can you do all those things? And Ichiro said yes. But here's the thing, Carl, he could do a lot of different things. He could still play center field. He could still, you know, be a defensive replacement. He could be a pinch runner. I don't know. I mean, Albert certainly doesn't have that ability, and I don't know how interested he would be in that very specific part-time role. And I do feel like that, look, his silence yesterday as the Angels held this presser, as they talked about, you know, his exit from the team, was a clue into his anger, his frustration, for lack of a better way to describe it, which isn't a surprise because you and I have seen so many great players through the years. At the end of their careers, they will never concede that they're beaten by Father Time. I was covering Cal Ripken when they, you know, moved him from shortstop to third base, and he was really angry about that, angry about the way he came down. He disagreed with the decision. And Derek Jeter's last year with the Yankees,
100%.
He was struggling at the beginning of the year. They talked to him and said, look, we want to move you down the order. He didn't want to go along with that. And that, 100%. And that's part, Carl, of what makes these guys great.
Yes, it is. And you're right. In the case of Pujols versus Jeter or Ichiro, it and even Ripken, we're moving you from short to third. In Pujols' case, it's not we're moving you from third over to first or we're taking you from outfield to DH. There is no position. And that is the most difficult pill to swallow. But in a game that relies on reflexes, that in a game that relies on versatility, that in a game that obviously embraces, you know, youth over age and experience, at some point, even the experience of recognizing pitches is going to be overmatched by the fact that the pitch, whether you recognize it or not, you're unable to get to it. You can't hit it. No one wants to look at a situation and think, well, the situation's going to be better off with me out of it than me included in it. And he's either going to have to be willing to embrace that role or not play at all. You know, I think the Angels, you know, in a lot of ways have gone out of their way to be accommodating to keeping somebody like Albert on. And Jared Walsh has been unbelievable. And they have that position and those positions covered. So you have to objectively, and we can do that because we're not Angels, we're not members of the Pujols family. You have to look at it objectively and say, again, are we better off with player X than we would be with player Y? Remove the name, remove the legacy, remove the Hall of Fame numbers, which, you know, you shouldn't do, but you have to when it comes to objectifying this particular decision. Sorry, there are facts, and the facts are borne out, let alone the fact that we have way more numbers and ways to analyze players now and show effectiveness or ineffectiveness than we did when Albert was, you know, on his way to hitting 600 plus homers and 3,000 hits.
I'm being Captain Obvious when I say that he should be a unanimous selection first time his name appears in the Hall of Fame ballot. Yes,
of course, without question. And, you know, again, likely won't be, but absolutely should be. And there's no reason to discuss his Hall of Fame credentials. There's always now the new thing, like, is this going to be unanimous? And then is some voter going to leave him off the ballot just for the sake of whatever reason or hill they want to die on? But yeah, you don't look at those numbers. And this isn't a debate. This is just a question of, is everybody going to do the right thing and vote for him the first time? 100% unanimous should be first time, and you know that.
You mentioned that home run off Brad Lidge in the 2005 playoffs. That's my favorite Albert moment. I was in Houston for that. Cardinals down, top of the ninth inning. Brad Lidge trying to close out a game. And Albert hits the ball. And there are three sounds that will always stick with me. One, the sound of the ball hitting the bat, the absolute explosion. Two, the ball crashing against that window pane above the railroad tracks. And three, the dead silence of the fans. And I can remember hearing a story about when the Astros left Houston, you know, to go to game six to try to close it out. And they did with Roy Oswalt on the mound. But I think it was Brad Ausmus, who was, you know, one of Lidge's teammates, looked out the window and said to his teammates, oh, look, there's Albert's baseball that he hit, which was classic baseball in terms of irreverence. But that was the moment that stuck out to me. And I loved, and in the absolutely the most underrated part of him as a player was his base running. Like all the things that he would do running the bases, despite the fact that he wasn't very fast. What are some moments for you that stick out?
Well, I you know, having been there basically since he showed up and covered him, and during the heyday of Albert Pujols, when El Hombre was the machine, several times I got a chance to interview him and talk with him. And you're always looking to understand what that particular athlete or performer cites as his reason for success. So, you know, in a simple question, you know, what allows you to do the things you do? He just said, I trust my hands. And in a lot of ways, the great ones seem to be able to break down their success to the simplest of things. You know, I think we idolize those like Brady and Tiger Woods and Jeter, and in the current case, Albert Pujols. And you're like, there's got to be some secret. There's got to be something you know, Barry Bonds, that no one else knows. And how often do you listen to Brady or Woods, or in this case, Pujols, tell me, I trust my hands? And you're like, well, that seems so simple. Like, what does that even entail? Because you hit it harder, you barrel it, your exit block, all the things that we now look at and be like, well, that's why, you know, Acuna's so great at this. And that's why Aaron Judge, when he hits it, and Giancarlo Stanton, it just feels like they wouldn't say, well, I trust my hands. It would be mechanical. And Albert was like, I trust my hands. And then when you watched him, you know, one thing looking at highlights of him now, you know, because everybody's playing them, there has been nothing that's changed about his swing, about his style, about his batting stance, like literally nothing. You mentioned Ripken, who changed his stance 1,000 times. Jeter would change his batting stance. It felt like, you know, every other week. Albert just it's the same swing every single time. Tiger Woods has changed his swing 100 times, but the trusting of the hands always, like, I will never forget that, because it seems so simple. And in a way, it was a mind clearer. I go to the plate, I'm not really thinking about anything, because I can trust what my hands are going to do. They're going to put me in the best position to hit the baseball. And they did. So there's all the visceral memories, you know, the homers in the World Series, the Lidge homer, his ability to make plays at third, then first base. But it was his simplicity when it came to his craft that I'll remember, because that was, you know, the thing that he told me. It's like David Ortiz telling me as we walked around in Fenway Park, see this green monster? This was my security blanket. Like, you just never think the way that they do. And when you understand it, it's great. And let me ask you this, Buster. So, like, right, just today, wouldn't you think, and this guy walked away a few years ago, David Ortiz, if he were still playing, would have as much success as Albert Pujols? And yet David Ortiz walked away a few years ago. Like, there is an awareness in some guys that this isn't what I want. This isn't working. And I'm not working anymore like I once did.
Yeah. And I think for David, it was important to be great with Albert. Mm-hmm. And it's part of what, you know, we've been talking about him and Jeter and Cal Ripken, and what Albert absolutely shared with those guys: work ethic, which I'm glad you touched on, and mental toughness. Oh my God, yeah. Is he tough? It's not easy in recent years, you know, to go out there and grind away where you're hitting 225. There are articles saying you're one of the worst players in baseball, and he's going to work. And every year you talk to the Angels people and they'd say he's showing up in great shape. He's looking good, but Father Time, undefeated. And it certainly was in this case. I got a few minutes left with you, so I want to run a few things past you. You know, this is the time of the year when we get the Triple Crown races, and I'm always looking for that horse coming up on the outside and gathering momentum. And so I'm just going to throw some teams at you and see if you agree with me. The Tampa Bay Rays, who just swept the series against the Angels. Man, it really is starting to feel like this team, with all of that great pitching, which extends down into the minor leagues, they are gathering momentum. I think they're incredibly dangerous. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, in just kind of looking at recent results, looking at standings, the Dodgers are starting to play a little better. And you just look at a lot of these teams and you realize, like, when healthy, they're still way better. And the Rays, to me, are different than the Giants. The Giants are going to be a pain in the butt, but they don't have the skill level that the Rays do. And yeah, I mean, the Rays are one of them. I think we're going to see Franco eventually. Like, you do have to look into the system and realize that there are resources that are available to us beyond going out and making a deal that are going to make us better. They have them. That's kind of why I alluded to them with Pujols. Maybe that's the flyer. And, you know, there's a lot of other things that Pujols brings to a team that if he's not hitting the baseball, he can be a great benefit. And they were in the World Series last year. But boy, can you imagine that kind of personality, that cachet that he would bring, that experience he would bring, that whisperer, you know, facet of his game that he would bring. Yeah, the Rays are one of them. I think the Cardinals are another, and I think a lot of people were dismissive of the Cardinals, but I think the Cardinals are another one of those teams that eventually are going to rise in that division. And I felt that way from the beginning, but I feel more strongly, you know, it's been a bit of a bumpy start. Every team in the NL East, too, Buster, all of a sudden is starting to win games and put things together. The Braves are going to be really good when they get healthy, and they're starting to do that too. So I would say the Braves, the Cardinals, and I would agree on the Rays.
Yeah, and the Braves now getting their pitching in order. Max Fried is back. They're going to be playing host this Sunday night baseball against the Philadelphia Phillies, who have not lost since that debacle last Sunday night. Last one for you. I just mentioned these teams moving forward. I love the Indians. Like, they've now won 5 in a row. They're not a dynamic team in terms of the offense they have, but they just plug away because they pitch. 4th in ERA in the AL, and every fifth day, they got Shane Bieber. And they may not win 100 games. They may not necessarily be a serious threat to win the World Series, but it's a good team. Terry Francona has good teams.
Always has good teams. There's no lack of coincidence that Terry Francona and Kevin Cash both manage the Rays and the Indians. And, you know, you can peel away layers, you can take stars away, you can trade away Snell, and you can lose Charlie Morton. We're okay. Like, there is the belief, because of their experience, I think, in the sport, and really the player that Cash was. So we had Dave Roberts, obviously, and Dave Ross the other night in our game. And you think about the impact those two players made on World Series winning teams when they were hardly the star of the team. And yet, you know, what he did with the steal and his persona for the Red Sox, and what Ross did in 16 for the Cubs and his personality. Francona, he sort of, you know, emboldens the Indians because he can relate to all 30 guys. Cash is certainly that guy. We're good. Don't worry. It's baseball. And get us into the tournament. You know, get us into the postseason. And stuff can happen. And you have a staff led by Bieber. And by the way, how good is Jose Ramirez? But you can take guys away. We've seen Franmil Reyes killing the baseball lately. Luplo comes up with big. They have these guys that they somehow instill a level of confidence and ability in. And then you do have still a star on the team like Ramirez, who is, once again, sort of reminding everyone, I am a really damn good hitter and arguably one of the best when I'm right in the league, if not the game.
All right, Robbie, good to talk with you.
Lots to be good. Thanks.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Here's Tim Kirkchin on Albert Pujols.
If the end of a career is near for Albert Pujols, it has been quite a run, one of the best of all time. His greatness began immediately, and for more than a decade, it never stopped. Pujols won the Rookie of the Year in 2001, hitting .329 with 37 home runs and 130 RBIs. His first 10 seasons with the Cardinals were arguably the best first 10 seasons of anyone in history. He is the only player to hit 300 with 30 homers and 100 RBIs in each of his first 10 years. Pujols won 3 MVP awards. He finished second 4 times, and in 10 of his first 11 seasons, he finished in the top 5. The Cardinals won the World Series in 2006 and 2011 with Pujols as the team's best player and its leader in every way, on and off the field. Pujols' career with the Angels was filled with injuries and playing through pain. His career average dipped to .298, but his 667 homers and 3,253 hits puts him with Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and Alex Rodriguez as the only players ever with 600 homers and 3,000 hits. After Lou Gehrig, the greatest first baseman of all time is either Jimmy Fox or Albert Pujols. Pujols showed up every day, ready to play, to hit, and to win. He was indeed the machine.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America, all around the world. Or you can go to his website, toddradom.com. And Todd, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday, Buster.
Absolutely. So I'm going to throw a curveball at you off the top before we move on to other things. Want to ask you, in this week that Willie Mays turned 90, in your mind, who's the greatest baseball player of all time?
Yeah, I mean, gun to my head, I think you've got to say Willie Mays, because I know you have said this before, but anything pre-1947, you know, comes with a qualifier.
Yeah.
And, you know, Willie Mays did it all. Did it all. Yes, Babe Ruth pitched and, you know, hit home runs at a prodigious rate. And yeah, but Willie Mays was the complete five-tool player that every player in the history of the major leagues has aspired to be. I don't think there's a better answer.
Very nice. Well, I'm glad that you agree with me because you're the smartest person I know, especially since you're running a quiz that I'm winning every week. All right. Let's talk about the forgotten franchise for this week, the Cleveland Spiders.
Buster, the Cleveland Indians will soon be renamed, and some have suggested Spiders. Well, today we're going to take a look at the Cleveland Spiders, who played from 1887 to 1899, back when you were a Cub reporter, my friend. The club started out in the American Association, which was and is considered to be a major league. They played there for 2 seasons before moving over to the National League in 1889. And that's when they were named Spiders by club executive / Cleveland Plain Dealer writer Frank Brunell, who was inspired by the gangly appearance of some of the team's players. After a so-so inaugural campaign, the Spiders roster was bolstered by a rookie named Cy Young, who joined the club in 1890 and wound up winning 240 games over 9 seasons with the team. The 1895 Spiders finished in second place during the regular season, but won the Temple Cup, a postseason series between the NL's first and second place teams, thus securing the National League's championship. In 1899, the Spiders owners, the Robeson brothers, purchased the NL's St. Louis franchise. This is today's St. Louis Cardinals, and proceeded to gut the Cleveland roster, sending most of the team's stars to their St. Louis club, including 3 future Hall of Famers. The Spiders' home games were regularly shifted. The club played only 42 games at home that season, as opposed to 112 on the road, and they finished with the most abysmal record in Major League history, with 20 wins and 134 losses, 84 games behind first place Brooklyn.
84. Okay, sorry to interrupt.
I know where you're going with that too, Buster. At the conclusion of the season, the Spiders, along with 3 other franchises, Washington, Louisville, and Baltimore, were contracted out of the National League, not even relegated, but just contracted, eliminated. Cleveland gained an American League franchise 2 years later in 1901, however, the one that will soon be renamed. But today, we salute the Cleveland Spiders, this week's forgotten franchise.
Now, I would say I wasn't going anywhere when I kept saying 84, because I was just astounded by that number, that any team could finish 84 games be out of first place. Tell me what you had in mind.
Well, I was thinking of where we're going next with this week's quiz, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. You mean me being 84 games ahead of Taylor?
Well, listen, Buster, I said this last week on Twitter. It remains to be seen whether you are the 1978 Red Sox or the 1998 Yankees, wire to wire. Maybe the 76 Reds are a better example of that. I have no idea. But we said it last week, too. It's getting early, late. Taylor, it is time to step things up, my friend.
I know, guys. It's this is rough. Everyone is on Twitter, though. They're all in my favor, all in my corner. They're all saying, by the way, that I should be going second because Buster has the lead. That is what has been done before. I think Buster's been tampering with the rules here a little bit. I think we got an issue.
In fact, we will check the bylaws, and I can't remember what number rule this is. 2101B, maybe, for the weekly quiz, Todd. It's the reigning champion who goes first every week, correct? That's the way we've done it in the past.
We have done it that way in the past. That is a fact. I believe it is actually 2101C, subsection 3, a little known codicil. Here, I have a big dusty book. It's about 6 inches thick. It's bound in fine Moroccan leather. So I'm sorry about that, Taylor.
Wow. Objection denied.
Yes, the Supreme Court. I am both the executive and the judicial branch over here. We Stop run a lean operation.
Stop the count, you guys. I'm over it.
Well, are we ready for this week's quiz? You have time. Here's your opportunity.
Oh, boy.
All right. Here we go. The 1997 Montreal Expos roster included three future Hall of Famers. Pedro Martinez and Vladimir Guerrero were two of them. Who was the third? Was it A, Lee Smith? Was it B, Gary Carter? C, Tim Raines? Or D, Andre Dawson? The 97 Expos, three future Hall of Famers, Pedro Martinez, Vladimir Guerrero, and one of this bushel full, Lee Smith, Gary Carter, Tim Raines, or Andre Dawson.
Buster right. definitely Taylor? Knows this.
You got a 25% chance. Let's do it.
I'll go Tim Raines.
I have the answer, Gary Carter.
God damn it.
Both of you happen to be wrong. So.
Oh, man.
What an upset.
Yeah, it was Lee Smith.
I'll take a draw any day.
Yeah, exactly. It's his... I don't know if it's as good as a win, but it's the best you can hope for at this point. So yeah. Amazingly, after 8 weeks, that is our first tie.
Stop the bleeding there. Unbelievable. Buster.
Momentum. What? Momentum, what? Taylor.
You're coming at me with that, you know, because I didn't win?
I just thought for sure. I heard the question. I was like, oh, well, there's no chance Buster gets this wrong. So, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah, I remember Gary Carter finished up at some point. He had another run back through Montreal. So, yeah, I blew that one. My fault.
Well, you know, sure you hold serve. We will go to week 9 with Buster with a firm lead. And Taylor, there's time here to pick up a Hall of Famer off the waiver list. You can make some moves.
Yeah. I think he's hinting about Josh Macri stepping in for a week.
I'm going to be out next week. So, you know, someone Ooh. Is going to have to step in and hopefully they can make up some ground for me.
Well, and you can anoint someone to step into your place.
All right. Maybe I will. We'll see.
Okay. The call to the bullpen phone. This is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, this was a big loss by me because Gary Carter's career ended in 1992 with the Montreal Expos, but that was 5 years before Lee Smith. So,
well, 97, you know,
that was really stupid by me. All right, Todd, all right, thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for a Friday. And first up, we're going to go with @BullpenTroll. He writes, and what do you think? Is this the most 2021 play of the year so far? Seems so emblematic of the game at this moment where we are so far from old school fundamentals and a wacky play in the Astros-Yankees game. Buster, I think you're going to do a better job at describing this than I will.
Yeah, so there's a Gleyber Torres who's on first base for the Yankees. There's a ground ball hit up the middle. They can't get Gleyber Torres at second base. And Gleyber Torres just keeps running because the shift is on. And so he sees third base open and he races to third. Martin Maldonado, the Astros veteran catcher, sees third base open too. So he's like, oh, I better get over to third base. And he gets close there and then he realizes, oh my God, there's nobody covering home plate. And so Gleyber Torres just never stops running. It's like a little league game. And bullpen troll, I know what you're trying to say, but I would disagree with you on this. I think that's just the case where, you know, the players are involved with these with the shifts that they don't necessarily, they're not conditioned to know where to go in a given moment. We've seen that from time to time. I think yesterday we did see a game that was very emblematic of 2021. Rays and Angels last night. Taylor, I don't know if you saw this. The first nine guys who came to the plate struck out. That is emblematic of baseball in 2021.
That is brutal. All right. Next up, we have Ross Ishikawa at Ross Ishikawa writes in, the extra inning runner on second rule seems to be bringing back small ball, or am I imagining things?
No, Ross. And by the way, when I saw your last name, I'm like, geez, I wonder if he's related to Travis, who I got to cover hit a series winning home run for the San Francisco Giants. Anyway, there's no doubt about it. I love the 10th inning because everyone asks the question, should you bunt right away? If you're on defense, do you pitch around the guy? Do you walk the bases loaded if the runner gets to third? It's a lot of fun.
Love the 10th inning. Last one for today, Jeff Gergenti at Jeff Gergenti. He's asking for some sort of bit here that I think Josh Macri used to do. So I'm not familiar with the bit, but I will put my own spin on it. He asks, Detroit Tigers, dead or alive?
Yeah, I'm glad that you caught up on it. Bon Jovi, of course, that's what Josh Macri used to do. And we would declare teams dead or alive. And I would say dead. Josh, sometimes I would do dead or alive, and then I'd have him declare. And in this case, Tigers, it was interesting. Yesterday, I got a bunch of text messages from people around baseball saying, oh, my God, the Tigers are terrible. so they seem to be a long way away from contending, that's for sure.
Indeed, indeed. All right, everyone, thanks for writing in. Enjoy the baseball this weekend. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets while you're watching those games. A's and Rays should be interesting. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we go, I do want to mention we got sad news about Del Crandall, a star catcher who played on two Milwaukee Braves teams that reached the World Series in the 1950s. He passed away at age 91. He had Parkinson's disease, and he's surrounded by his family. I remember when he was a manager, Milwaukee Brewers, Seattle Mariners. So someone very much respected in the game. That's it for today. That's it for this week. My thanks to Carl, Todd, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms or restrictions apply.